Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship here at HTK this morning. Good to have you along with us. And unlike the people at the first service, thank you for bringing the sunshine, as they brought the rain. So let's not only just bask in the beautiful sunshine outside, but also in the sunshine of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ's love for us today. Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we just come before you today to honour you, to give you praise and thanks and glory for all of your goodness to us. Lord, as we come before you today, bless and comfort and help and encourage us on our journeys through life with you. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come in your precious name. Amen. So let's stand and begin with a time of worship and praise. Thank you.
grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Thank you.
stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. Sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you.
Goodness me, these kids are all taller than I am. Not that that's really very difficult, but they're not kids really anymore, are they? Young adults, wonderful young people. So, Indy's the only one that was here last week, and I said we were going to learn three really big words over the next 3 weeks. And last week's word was evangelical. Now, I'm not going to ask Indy what it meant, but it means that HTK is kind of like a book club. So the Bible is the centre of our church, and we get so excited about the book that's at the centre of our church that we go and tell other people about it. We've got another big word today, and I'm sorry everybody, but I'm going to use the analogy of a book again, because that's what I know best. It's what I know best. So some books become so popular that there's lots of toys and games and movies and songs and all sorts of things come out of them. Can you think of a book like that?
Big Friendly Giant.
Big Friendly Giant, BFG. Yeah, by Roald Dahl. So that's gone through lots of different publications and movies and all sorts of things. That's a good one. Any others? No, that's not the one I was thinking of. But yeah, kind of. Yeah, Harry Potter's really big. Anything else?
Toy Story.
Yep, all the fairy tales that Disney's taken over and has done big things with. There's lots of bits and pieces come out of them.
Cinderella.
Yeah. Even Frozen. Did you know that Frozen actually is based on the Snow Queen, which came out of a book? And my kids had all the Thomas the Tank Engine stuff. So they came out many, many years ago, written by a minister in tiny little books like this. And now they've just taken off. So yes, Liam, you were right. That people have taken hold of the Bible and they've made movies, and you can buy little statues that are supposed to look like Jesus, and you can buy all sorts of things. But God's cleverer than that. He's done more than that with this book. So before I tell you what he's done, I'm going to take you through two of the really big ideas in the Bible. The first one is that God loves us so much that he makes us his children and makes us a part of his family through forgiveness of our sins. Okay, so that's one of those big ideas. Another one of those big ideas is that Jesus died on the cross for us. He died for us, he rose for us so that we can live with him forever. So that's those two big ideas. Now, God was really clever with those ideas because those ideas are so important that he wanted to do some special things with those. So that first one, what he did was that there's a story in here about baptism, okay? About John the Baptist baptizing Jesus. And then there's all sorts of references to baptism through the Bible. And what happens is that it's so important that it's been pulled out of the Bible, it's been put into worship, and it's a physical thing that happens in church. So have you been to a baptism? And you've been baptized? You've been baptized? Indy's been baptized? I've been baptized? Steve's been baptized? I think everybody here has probably been baptized. And what do you see? What physical thing do you see in baptism? What do you see, Liam? Water, that's right. And water is like washing, and it's that picture of washing away our sins, and it really happens in baptism. It's not just a picture. It's not like a movie or a game. So that other idea, Jesus dying for us. So God pulls that into worship as well. And what he does with that is every time you come to church, just about, there's the bread and the wine on that table, and that's communion. And so that's like a real understanding of Jesus dying for us, isn't it? Every time we come to church. Now we come to our word. Do you know what those two things are called? Liam might know. No? So we've got evangelical, and the next one is... anybody? Sacramental. Those two things are sacraments. And do you know what a sacrament is? That's where the word sacred comes from, which means holy and from God. So we are a sacramental church. We've still got that book at the middle. God's pulled a couple of those really important ideas out of the book, put them into the middle of our worship, and those are our sacraments. And so HTK is an evangelical church, and it's a sacramental church. It's a cool church to come to as well, isn't it? Okay, let's pray. Oh God, we thank you that you are much cleverer than we are, that you know what the really, really important things are for us, and that you make them very physical for us, that you make them very real for us. That, Lord, in baptism, you take our sin away, you give us your Holy Spirit, you make us a member of your family. And Lord, that in communion you come to us in the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Jesus, so that we know that we are forgiven and that when we die we will live with you in heaven forever. Thank you, God. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Okay, let's stand up for the greeting of peace and share the peace with each other. So the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We are the body of Christ.
Spirit,
and the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
So let's share the peace with each other. And today, Kids Club starts again over in the hall. So kids, you can go off with Janet and have a whole lot of fun learning about all that she's got in store for you for this year. And God bless you as you go. Okay, let's remain standing now to hear Esther share the gospel reading with us today.
The gospel reading comes from Mark chapter 1 verses 4 through 11 and chapter 14 verses 22 through 24. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And that at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
And I'd like to share a message with you this morning on the basis of the gospel reading. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you are a God of love and grace and mercy, and you have shown us this through the sending of your Son Jesus Christ to live and die and rise again for us. And you have left visible signs and symbols behind for us to share in, so that we may be your people and see, and that we may grow as your people. So Lord, bless our hearing of the word today and our living of it. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Now, this sermon was meant to be delivered on the 10th of January, which was the Sunday of the feast day of the baptism of Jesus. But owing to COVID lockdown, I wasn't allowed to be here that morning, as I had to isolate. So, to continue on in our series of HDK as an evangelical church, a sacramental church, and a charismatic church, today we come to HDK as a sacramental church and what those sacraments mean for us as church. Now, the reading from Mark 1 begins with the baptism of John, which is the forerunner to our sacrament of baptism. John's baptism and the Christian sacrament are not identical. The baptism inaugurated by John was directly and specifically made towards the Jewish nation. And it was initiated during the period of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it emerged as a practice among the Jews as a purification rite for the non-Jews, the Gentiles. It was a cleansing rite of people considered to be unclean. If a Gentile wanted to become a Jew, being male, he had to do three things. Firstly, he had to make a profession of faith in Judaism. Secondly, he had to be circumcised. And thirdly, he had to undergo the purification rite of proselyte baptism because he was considered unclean. Now, John scandalized many Jews of that day when he declared to them that they had to be purified in the same manner in order to receive the Messiah. Now, that's absolutely shocking in the ears of the Jews of those days. After all, they were of the chosen people of God. They had been circumcised and they lived a life of faith according to the Old Testament. They didn't need to be cleansed because they were already clean. But if we understand this background, then it's easier for us to comprehend what John is saying to the Jews in Luke 3, 7 and 8, where it says, John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." Now, the coming Messiah is the clean one. Compared with him, even the most religiously perfect and pious person, even Jewish, is unclean and still needs to repent. So John came baptizing in the desert region, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John's baptism had two components. Firstly, repentance, and then forgiveness. John came dressed as a prophet. He was wearing clothes made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. He ate prophet's food, locusts and wild honey. He prophesied the Messiah, the one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. And of his baptism he said, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John explains what will happen with the baptism of Jesus. He will not only baptize with water, but with the Holy Spirit. And as church, we believe that those two elements are still true today in baptism: water and the Spirit. Now, why is this? It is because the hearts of all people need to change. Water cannot do this, nor can a human decision of the will. It requires more. It requires the work of God upon the human heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this can only happen through the work of the Son, Jesus Christ. The work of the Son, Jesus Christ, is the work of humility. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 2:8? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And in our text, Jesus comes to John, and like many of the other Jews of that day, was baptized by him in the Jordan River. But why did he do this? He did it so that he could identify with all of us who he came to die for, because we are all by nature sinners. As Paul also says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He who had no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now, in doing this, Jesus showed deep humility. In his incarnation, as a babe in the manger, Jesus showed deep humility. And now that he's beginning his ministry, he shows deep humility again. But just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Here we see Trinitarian witness: the humble God-man Jesus, the voice of God the Father, and the Spirit descending upon Jesus as a dove. God speaks the words of Psalm 2, verse 7, "You are my Son," pertaining to Jesus being the Son of God. And from Isaiah 42, 1, "My chosen one, in whom I delight," meaning that Jesus is going to go the way of humiliation, the way of the cross, and he is going to be the suffering servant. And all that God said about Jesus back then in Jesus' baptism, he says of us in our baptism. Whether we're 2 days old, 20 years old, or 90 years old. And this will only happen to us and all Christians of all times and places because Jesus went the way of humiliation for us, the way of the cross. And because of Jesus' cross, it means that when we are baptized, the Father declares that you are his child. He declares that the Son's suffering has given you the forgiveness of your sins. He also declares that the Holy Spirit now lives in you to enable you to live the Spirit-empowered, God-pleasing life. Now, though the word Spirit occurs infrequently in Mark, it comes at key points which confirms that Mark sees John's prophecy as being fulfilled in Jesus' ministry. The Spirit takes Jesus away into the wilderness in Mark chapter 1, verse 12. And in Mark 3, 28 to 30, Jesus describes the work of deliverance he does as being the work of the Spirit. Baptizing with the Spirit and being baptized by the Spirit, according to Mark, is actually being the bearer of the Spirit in such a way that the release and the freedom that we're given in our baptism, we're able to share that good news with others as we live the baptized life. You see, from time to time I'll get people ring me up and they'll say to me, I'd like to get my child done. But baptism is more than being done so that you can have your sins forgiven and somehow have a magical kind of insurance policy for heaven. In fact, that is not baptism at all. And that is the way that many adults treat baptism with their children. Even among Protestant churches where there's division over infant baptism and believers' baptism, there is agreement that baptism is always done in faith. Whether it's the faith of the person being baptized or whether it is the faith of the parents bringing the children to be baptized, baptism should always be done in faith. As it says in the 39 Articles, one of our Anglican confessional documents in Article 25 about the sacraments, that through them God not only quickens but strengthens and confirms our faith in him. So Jesus took that rite of Old Testament cleansing and identified it not with Israel but with his new covenant. Through baptism, then, we become his people, his family, the church. And the baptized life is lived out in the context of the church. The church is the body of Christ on earth. And it is within the body of Christ, the church, that our faith is nurtured and grows. Because there is another sacrament which God provides for us to grow us and keep us in the faith. And this is the sacrament of Holy Communion, or the Eucharist. Just as Jesus took the ritual of proselyte baptism in the Old Testament and made it the sacrament of entry into the New Covenant, so he took the Old Testament Passover meal and made it into the sacramental meal of the New Covenant. The Passover meal was celebrated in Israel in memory of God's great act of redemption when he led the people of Israel out of the captive slavery in Egypt into the wilderness to go to the promised land. This redemptive act happened as a result of God sending the final plague upon the Israelites, the death of all the firstborn children and animals in Egypt. The Israelites were to kill a sheep, paint some of the blood on the door frames, and the angel of death, who would kill the firstborn in Egypt, would pass over the Israelite homes with the blood of the lamb painted on the door frame. And as a result of this judgment of God upon Egypt, Pharaoh expelled the Israelites from his land. And so it was in the context of this ancient meal that had been celebrated for centuries by the Jews that Jesus took a piece of bread, probably a special piece of bread in the Passover meal that is called the aphikomen. And he gave thanks and broke it and said of it to his disciples, "Take it, this is my body." And then he gave it to the disciples to share. And then he took a cup. Probably it's believed the cup in the Passover meal that's called the cup of redemption. He gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "This is my blood of the covenant." Now, some manuscripts say the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. So Jesus instituted a new dimension in redemptive history. As God had instituted, used the Old Testament Passover as a remembrance and participation of the people's deliverance from the plague of death of the firstborn in Egypt, so Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, as a remembrance of and participation in his death for the redemption of his new covenant people from the power of sin, death, and the devil. Now, the time factor involved with the Lord's Supper is threefold. With respect to the past, the Lord's Supper is a remembrance of the Lord's death for sinners, that he shed his blood at a particular time in history that is efficacious for all generations, for all of God's people. With the respect to the present, it is a living gift. We meet the risen Christ in person at his table every time we participate in the supper by faith. Jesus says to us, "This is my body." And before COVID, he said, "This is my blood." He is alive, living, and active. And he meets us and empowers us for living the new covenant life in the meal of the new covenant. And with respect to the future, Jesus said in the verse following the text about the institution of the supper in Mark's gospel, "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom." The Lord's Supper also causes us to think on and anticipate a great future, when we will sit at the table of the Lord in heaven and feast with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there we will see him face to face. No longer will we be separated from him by sin. We will see him in all his glory, and our faith will turn to sight. So Holy Communion covers the past, the present, and the future. So why is it important for us to be a sacramental church at HTK? Well, it's because it grounds us in our history and identity as the people of God. The sacraments are the life and gospel of Jesus Christ made visible for us and in us. In baptism, we are brought into the family of God. God makes his covenant with us. God bestows upon us all of the blessings that he bestowed upon Jesus at his baptism. And we become children of God, assured of his love for us, forgiven of our sins, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live a life of faith, bringing gospel peace, freedom, and release to people as we live the baptized and the sacramental life out in the world. To strengthen us for that calling and living out the new covenant in our lives, God gives us the sacrament of Holy Communion, through which, as I shared with you before from the 39 articles, God not only quickens but strengthens and confirms our faith in Him. Holy Communion gives us the same benefits of the cross as what baptism does. Assures us of the forgiveness of the sins, renews us in the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, and promises us again the assurance of salvation, especially for those times when we feel weak and unworthy of the name of Christ. The sacraments work hand in hand with the Word. And along with the Word, the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion ground us in the history of our faith, bring us into the community of our faith, binds us together in our community of faith, sustains us together in living our faith, and promises us immense blessing at the end of the life of our faith. The sacraments should never be ignored or played down. They are an expression of the gospel and an integral part of our life as church. And through them, we receive and we exercise gospel ministry. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful gifts of your sacraments. Help us to grow daily in appreciation of all that they are and all that they mean for us and all the power that your Holy Spirit gives us through them. Lord, help us at HDK to be a sacramental church. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So let us stand now for our affirmation of faith. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in God the Son?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified,
died and was buried, he descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe
in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all that you have given to us. We pray for peace to come to your troubled world. We uphold the COVID-19 pandemic to you. We pray for the medical staff, for our leaders, and help us to use this time to show your love and grace. Help us to accept the Holy Spirit, to lead us and for us to follow. And let the Holy Spirit guide us in all that we do. Help us to lead a life of humility. Embed in us the sacraments that you've given to us. Help us to use them to grow and to come closer to you. I wonder, Lord, who needs your healing hand? I wonder, Lord, what you are calling me to do this week. We pray together the prayer you gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours. Now and forever. Amen.
So let us stand as we farewell our online viewers.
We say together the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.